And now the game where people who've done great things get reminded what it's like to do something else. Paul Feig had a rough time growing up. He was awkward and shy and often humiliated. We know this because he's made a career out of making books, TV shows, and films about people like him. The cult classic TV show Freaks and Geeks, for example, and more recently the movie Bridesmaids. Paul Feig, we hope being in this show helps heal your wounds. Welcome to Wait, Peter. Wait.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. So I'm not exaggerating about your youth, and I know this because you've, among other things, written books about it. You wrote two books, two memoirs, one called Kick Me, one called Superstud, about the hard time you had growing up.
Yeah, you know, I like to throw myself on the sword so that others may feel better about themselves. I tell the stories that you all want to forget, but when you remember it, it hopefully makes you laugh. So
yes.
That is my public duty.
You and your friend Judd Apatow took that material and you made the great TV show Freaks and Geeks, which only lasted for like 14 or 15 episodes, but is beloved.
Yeah, we went 18 episodes. That was all.
Revived lately in Iowa.
Yes, exactly.
But you know,
they got the geeks part right.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many young stars you two discovered on that show. It's really...
There's James Franco, Seth Rogen. A lot of the guys who become your... At least Judd Apatow's acting company started on that show.
Yeah, Jason Segel. It's kind of crazy how many people came out of there. No, it was great. I mean, I feel like they're all my kids. I'm a proud father right now.
Exactly. Now, when you were going through this stuff, when you yourself were in junior high school and high school, and a geek and a freak, depending on the day... Did you say to yourself, someday I'm going to become rich and famous making art about this?
Well, I thought the show was going to be really successful because I thought, who wouldn't want to relive the worst years of their life? And
turns out nobody
really wanted to.
Really? Nobody at all?
No.
Did you guys, when you did that show, were you like, well, I mean, because we've seen so many shows and movies about kids in high school, but did you decide there was like a need that hadn't been filled, a story that hadn't been told?
Well, I thought so because I always would, you know, see these shows about high school, a movie about high schools, and they're always about the popular kids and the good-looking kids and their problems with dating and romance. And it was like, that had nothing to do with anything I went through in high school. We were literally just trying to survive the day, you know. And we, the head of the network was very upset with our show because he said, there's no victories. And I always kind of say, well, look, they're alive at the end of the day. That's
really?
Kind of,
right.
I'm making this show. That's a victory.
Yeah.
Exactly. And look at me now.
Yeah.
Do you ever go back to your old neighborhood and see what happened to the other kid?
No. I've never been to a class reunion or anything because I'm always afraid of that one. There's going to be some Carrie-like incident.
Oh, really?
Aww. Yeah.
Like, the one guy that none of us paid attention to suddenly takes his revenge. So, I've steered clear.
You know, if you go back, all the kids who were mean to you in high school will start showing you the screenplays they wrote. I guarantee it. Hey, let's talk about...
They'll just beat me up.
Yeah, well, no.
Or both.
Screenplays are going to be worse than the punches, though.
Yeah, really?
So
it takes longer to endure,
true.
Exactly.
Here, I'm going to give you my screenplay and stuff you in the locker again so you have time to read it.
Yeah. I can either continue and read your Act 3, but I'll take the swirly, thank you.
Let's talk about Bridesmaids, the highest grossing R-rated female comedy ever. Is that correct?
Ah. Thank you. My gosh.
It is a hilarious movie. I will point out, though, that it is a movie that was written by two women, including its star, Kristen Wiig. It stars a whole bunch of women. It is almost entirely about the experience of women. And you, sir, are a man.
Yes.
Did they not notice that when they hired you to direct it?
I was the fox in the hen house, exactly.
Did you learn anything about women that you didn't know? I mean, in your books, you describe yourself as a young man as not being, shall we say, adept with the opposite sex.
I mean, honestly, it just reinforced everything that I thought to be true, which is just that guys are really about kind of putting each other down and being very aggressive in their humor to each other.
Yeah.
And women's humor seems to be a little more supportive. It's just kind of trying to make the other one laugh through funny voices and kind of talking about other people. I respond to that. I feel less like I'm going to get beat up in a room full of women than I do in a room full of guys.
Oh, seemingly often a concern with you, I can't help but notice.
There's always a beating around the corner when you're like me.
There are a lot of great comic set pieces in the movie. The one that everybody talked about was one where the women in the movie have a suspect lunch and then go to try on these expensive bridesmaids dresses when all of a sudden the suspect lunch has its effects.
We're very proud.
Oh, yeah. And it is perhaps the grossest thing I have ever seen in a female oriented. I mean, it's straight out of like the most gross out boys movie, but it's a girl. Was there any resistance to that scene from anyone at any point?
You know what it was? It was really, when you're doing a big comedy, the first thing you do is you try to make sure that you're telling a very emotional, real story. And that's literally, with all the other crazy stuff going on, that's what people really respond to. And the fact that Kristen does this amazing performance, is very grounded, and it's about this female friendship. But then, on top of that, you want these, you know, what we call set pieces in Hollywood, but they're kind of those water cooler moments where you just want something that's outrageous, but you want it to come out of the story. And we needed to illustrate that she's making a mistake that's going to get her in trouble with her best friend, and she's pretending that she has more money than she doesn't, so she passes off a cheap restaurant. And it just seemed like the funniest way to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
It was.
So you're saying, well, we
and
just need
classy.
To...
And classy.
Oh, yeah. Nothing but class from the yes. first vomit to the last explosive bout of diarrhea. It was
my top hat, my ascot.
Well, Paul Feig, we are delighted to have you with us, and we have invited you here today to play a game we're calling...
It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine.
So it's 2012, and as we all know, that's when the Mayans predicted that the calendar would end, along with the rest of the world, and the only survivors would be John Cusack and his estranged wife. Now, the Mayans predicted that. They knew about John Cusack. It's impressive. Yeah. Now, if the past is any guide, the prediction of the end of the world probably will not happen, because all the other predictions of the end of the world have not happened so far. We're going to ask you about three predictions about the end of the world. If you get two of these questions right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Are you ready to play?
Yes.
All
I
right.
can't wait.
Carl, who is Paul Feig playing for?
Paul is playing for Zachary Evans of New York City.
All right.
And Zachary, I'm already sorry that I've lost you this contest.
Spoken like a true geek. All right. Here's your first question. A Texas cult leader, this is somewhat recently, named Hong Min Chen, he predicted that God would appear to announce the end of the world on March 31st, 1998. Where, according to Mr. Chen, would God appear? Would it be A, at midcourt in the NCAA finals, B, on cable TV, or C, in the person of Texas Governor George W. Bush, who would reveal his divinity?
Oof. Oh, boy. I got to say, C is the most tempting, and I wish it would have happened. How interesting. Let's see. You know what? Let's go with A.
You're going to go with A in midcourt. They'd be playing the game, maybe the finals, and all of a sudden there'd be a puff of smoke and God would appear.
Yeah, you'd hope.
Yeah, you'd hope. No, actually, it was B on cable TV. He said that God would appear on cable TV, according to the prediction, and God is so powerful that you'd be able to see him even if you didn't have cable.
Wow. Oh, there you go. How sorry, Zach.
Glorious is that.
Did not happen. All right, on to your next prediction.
Was God going to be selling the ShamWow? Is that
something like that?
Very good. Anybody who was using antennas at that moment would, you know, the message that they would take away from the announcement of the end of the world would be, we've got cable!
The world can't end now. We've got cable!
There is a heaven.
All right. You still have two more chances, so it's not the end of the world.
Excellent. Nicely done. Nicely played.
Thank you. Here's your next foiled apocalypse. In 2008, an actual lawsuit was filed against whom? For fear, if not stopped, they would destroy the Earth. Was it A, the makers of Red Bull energy drink, B, the scientists behind the Large Hadron Collider, or C, the producers of the TV show John and Kate Plus 8?
Oh. As much as I wish it was C, I'm pretty sure it's B.
It's the Large Hadron Collider.
Yes.
You're right. Yeah, that's what it was. The lawsuit was filed in federal court. Claiming that if the machine was turned on, it would create a black hole and destroy everything. That is, of course, exactly what happened. All right, last up, radio preacher Harold Camping. We remember that he predicted the world would end on two different dates in 2011. Yes. Neither rapture happened, as we know. He explained this strange lapse. How? A, it did happen. Mm-hmm. We just were all left behind.
Ooh.
Nobody was raptured. Turns out nobody was good enough to go. B, God was just messing with him. The world will end on sweetest day 2013. Or C, he's just not a very good prophet.
I believe I was obsessed with Harold Camping. Yes. I believe it was C.
You're right. He said, finally, that he wasn't a very good prophet. He said... Which was fairly honest of him. Mm-hmm. He said,
and appears in no books of the Bible.
Yeah.
that statement.
He said, I obviously haven't understood it properly because we're still here.
Yeah.
But you know what's weird? The fact that he said that makes me want to believe him now about everything.
I know.
Yeah, he nailed that.
Yeah.
Well, he'll eventually get something right.
That's right. Carl, how did Paul Feig do in our show?
Paul, you had two correct answers, so you win for Zachary Evans.
Oh,
well done.
Carl, warm up those vocal cords. You got a message to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So you did so well. How does this make you feel about your life of success?
I'm walking on air right now.
I know.
Dangerous.
Yes.
You finally go back to that high school, Paul.
I'm going to my next reunion.
Yeah. Now exactly. You're ready to go. Paul Feig, among many others.
Right before being punched. I won on Wait.
You think you can beat me up? I won a contest on NPR.
Paul Feig is the director of Bridesmaids, as well as many other wonderful things. Bridesmaids is out now in DVD. Paul Feig, thank you so much for joining us. Great to talk to you.
Peter, thank you. I had the greatest time. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.